would you think back and say to yourself, have I made any kind of mistakes at all in my life? Some kind of foolish decision? Now, don't be thinking to yourself, I'm sitting next to one, all right, wives? Okay, that was actually a wise decision. You might be a little confused, might have to clarify that a little bit. You look at that, and you say, wow, that was a blessing, a wise decision. But what other decisions have you made? Maybe you made some of the last week. Maybe you made some in the past year or two. Maybe there's something clear in the past that some decision that you made and you're saying, boy, I really wish I would not have made that decision. We're all that way, aren't we? Sometimes we think we can live life better if we just have a bunch of rules. Some people look at Christianity and they say, well, all Christianity is a bunch of rules, do's and don'ts. After all, they got the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not watch TV. Thou shalt not dance. Thou shalt not smoke, chew, or drink alcohol. And so they see all that and say, well, you know what that means? That's not for me. That's not a better life. Did you know? I bet you did. Maybe, maybe not. Did you know dancing is a sin? Did you know that? You don't believe me? You go back, not at our church covenant, you go back, look at the old church covenants. Baptist churches tend to have covenants. These are agreements that the members make. They say, this is the way we need to live our life. Where did they get those ideas? Well, they should get them right from the Bible. As I look at ours, you know what I see? You can find proof text for each of them. But did you know, used to be in there, you weren't allowed to dance. No dancing and no movies whatsoever. It is wrong to do that. You know, in our day in 2013, that sounds a little strange almost, doesn't it? Seems legalistic. And when people look at what Christianity is, and they look at these rules which you can and can't do, and so they make up in their mind, you know what, that's what it's all about, and therefore I don't want a part of it. You can understand why, can't you? You know, there's another extreme that takes place, other than the extreme of we're going to make up rules about what's appropriate and not appropriate to do. The Pharisees did that. Look at those disciples. They didn't wash their hands the ceremonial way before they ate. Now, on the other hand, you have other Christians that say, we're in 2013. These things that are stated in the Bible were fine for back then, but they don't really apply to us now. It's a different day. We don't live clear back then. What is wrong with drinking? What's wrong with going to movies? What's wrong with compromising and having one big church family? Why should we be separate from all those? Isn't that hate rather than love? On the one extreme, what you do is you say what God does not say. On the other extreme, you ignore what God says. This one over here in their effort to be holy as God is holy, which is the lofty goal, which is the command of Scripture, begin sometimes to put fences where they're not supposed to be or where they're not needed. On the other hand, you have a group over here that says, wait a minute, God says we're to love each other. God says, look, I've got Christian liberty. If it doesn't bother me, it must be okay to do. Do you see the problem? What's right? What's wrong? If you look back in the Old Testament and the New Testament, you find that the Bible is not just of what was yesteryear's, but a reflection of today. You look in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, what do you find? You find that the Bible talks about adultery. Do we have adultery today? Yeah. Did they have it back then? Yes. The Bible addresses it. Can you believe that? Even pornography. Well, they didn't have those dirty magazines back then. What are you talking about? Didn't Jesus say, you should not look on a woman to lust after her? Isn't that pornography of some kind? They had it back then. We have it today. Gossip. The Bible says don't gossip. You think they didn't gossip back then? Paul tells Timothy, you tell those ladies. Isn't that interesting that he addresses the ladies this way? To be busy at home. Otherwise, if they don't, they'll get to become busybodies and gossips. We look and see what it says about lying. We see that in the Old and New Testament. And we see it today. Stealing, coveting, complaining, dissatisfaction, being ungrateful. Those are all things of yesteryears. And they're things of today. So the Bible is a mirror, really, of our old society. They didn't have to have all the fancy phones. I got one somewhere. Now some of you, you can touch them. I could touch mine too, but it doesn't do anything. I open mine up. So that way I can use the keypad. That's fancy for me. Some of them, you talk to them. I talk to mine all I want. It doesn't say anything back though. They didn't have those. Now, could these get you in trouble? Yeah, they could get you in trouble. And what do they have that got themselves into trouble? They had all kinds of other things that got themselves into trouble. Things of entertainment can get you into trouble, whatever kind it is. Some things are not mirror in the Bible, but principled in the Bible. It's not one for one, but you see the foundation of the principles, and then you take it and apply it to today. Give you some examples here. Music, the use of alcohol, movies, living together before marriage, and others. Wait a minute, the Bible doesn't speak about those things directly. Well, no, not so many words, but there are principles set for them. You don't tell your kids every single thing they can and can't do, do you? No. You lay down principles and they follow them. You don't have to go through the list. Son, you shall not say, and then start with four-letter words. Two-letter words. Start with two-letter words first. When I ask you to do something, you don't say no. And then you move up to the four-letter words, and you tell them each one they're not supposed to say. And you move up to five-letter words. And you have to describe to them every single thing they can't and can say to you. Right? You don't do that. If something comes up, some of that you do express, but not every single expression or mannerism. You lay down the foundation. The foundation is, you will not disrespect me. That's the foundation. Sometimes it's a matter of clarifying what that is. That means so. When I say clean your room, you don't say, well, later. That means you go clean it. Some things are implied. Well, if I know this isn't going to make my mom happy to start a campfire in the middle of the living room, then I'm not going to do it. You didn't even have to spell it out, did you? You laid down the foundation, the principles, and that's how they knew. The scriptures do that. How should I live in 2013 to make the most of the life God wants me to live? Jesus says, I came to give you life and that you might have it abundantly. let's pay attention to James chapter 3 and verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Now, the answer is supposed to be, oh, I am. I'm wise. That's what he's looking for. And the reason he's looking for that is because he's going to say then, let him show by his good conduct that his works are done in all meekness and wisdom. If you're really as wise as you think you are, prove it. What do your good works show? What kind of decisions are you making? And here he wants to put them to shame, I think. You think you're all wise, but guess what? You're not. You see, there's a wisdom that's not from God, a worldly wisdom. And this worldly wisdom is not what you go around boasting about what you have. Let me give you some of those characteristics. Let him give you some of those characteristics of what they are. Characteristics of worldly wisdom. In verse 14, he says, if you have bitter envy and are self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. You think you're wise, but if this is what you have, you're not in it. What characteristics of this, the heart of it, causes bitter envy and self-seeking. He continues and said, this wisdom does not descend from above. It's not from God, but it is earthly. It's from the earth. That is, the thoughts and actions are restricted to the here and now. There's no thought about God, no thought about even the future. It's earthly, it's base, it comes right down to here. Think about the wisdom that's in this world. Not all the world's wisdom is pure foolishness. The wisdom that has its ultimate source from heaven, because we can see the biblical principles there, but as people look and observe, they think to themselves financial principles. If I make $100 a month, and I spend $120 a month, guess what I will have? Bankruptcy, right? To a degree, that can be considered some earthly wisdom, but I don't think he's going there. I think his focus is on the right now. Earthly wisdom says, you know what? I got money in my pocket. If I don't spend it, somebody else will take it from me. So why not spend it? And if I accumulate debt, so what? It doesn't matter. Everybody's got debt. You know, the best way to get out of debt, don't you? Spend more money. That's how to get out of debt. That's because it's also sensual. Some translations, natural or unspiritual. The word is used in the book of Jude. It speaks about those whose minds don't have the Holy Spirit. It's spoken of by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, saying that the natural man cannot understand those things that are spiritually understood. I like the way that Nelson's Bible Dictionary describes it. Pertaining to or given to life according to one's physical appetites and desires rather than obedience to the Holy Spirit. This type of wisdom is based on what feels good to me. For example, the doctor says, I need to cut down on the donuts, didn't say chips, on the donuts, and I need to pick up on the vegetables. Well, guess what I think? I think she's insane. I think she's in league with the farmers. and that her goal is to raise her stock. And because of that, guess what I'm not going to do? I'm going to do what she says. She's got money invested over here at the vegetable company. So I'm not going to make her any richer. Plus, have you ever had vegetables? She might be trying to kill me off. She might be head laid with the morgue. It's wisdom based on my own corrupt thinking. What it comes down to is those taste yucky, and the good, the bad stuff tastes good. So why not eat the good stuff? After all, you gotta die of something anyway. Why not die happy? Do you see how that works? It's based on my feelings, what makes me feel good. It's based on my own appetites. That's what worldly wisdom does. Not only is it that, but it's also, it says demonic. Now, you know that that's not true, don't you? It's not demonic to choose donuts over vegetables. That's silly. Did you know, by the way, that God created your body? And God created your body as a place of worship. It is a device that can be used for worship. I can use my hands to worship God. I can do it in prayer. I can do it in service. I can use my voice to worship God. I can do it in song, or to please you, not in song. I can do it in expressing His word. The Bible says that my body is created by God, and when I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior, it is actually the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's because the Holy Spirit dwells in me. Therefore, I should treat my body well. Did you know that Satan hates God? And he takes everything God makes good and perfect and twists it. He takes everything God makes and tries to destroy it. If my goal, there's nothing wrong with donuts, but if that's what my life revolves around is donuts to the degree that it's unhealthy, what kind of wisdom is that coming from? God? No, it's not, is it? Coming from the one who wants to destroy my body. That would be Satan. So now indeed do you see that this wisdom is indeed demonic. So that's the character of worldly wisdom. Do you know what the heart of worldly wisdom is? It produces bitter envy. Makes me jealous because somebody else has got more money than me, so therefore they should be taxed so that way I can have more of their money. Or, therefore, they should owe me something because I don't have to do anything because they're rich and I'm not. We get jealous of people because they have nice, beautiful red Corvettes. We get jealous of people because of the make and model of their body. Oh, wow, I wish I could eat all those donuts and be as thin as them. Right? Sometimes we get jealous of the kids. Look at all the energy they have. That's because they ate all the donuts. Look at all the energy they have. And we get jealous of them. We look at somebody who's done well and successful in this life. And we either wish that we were like them or wish ill upon them because we got bitter envy because we're based on the world's wisdom. We're self-seeking. What is it in life that you want? Well, I want to be happy. Well, what's the way to be happy? Eat donuts. That's what the meaning of life is. You don't think so. Remember, we're to be holy. As God is holy, and donuts have what? There you go. If you have three of them, that's holy, holy, holy. Sing the song and be holy, 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 holy. the heart of that wisdom produces a heart in us that thinks we are number one. You're not number one. God is number one. And if you don't understand that, you don't have godly wisdom. The result of that is what? It's confusion in verse 16. Where envy and self-seeking exist, there is confusion. Every evil thing, every evil thing is there. We look in our daily life, in our government, working on the worldly wisdom. Is there not confusion? We have now in place the health care law, and nobody understands it. I got a letter from my insurance company that says, well, this might be happening, but we don't know yet. Well, that makes things a little difficult when you're planning for the future. We have a fiscal cliff in the government, in our country. And guess what? There's confusion over the right thing to do. And the expression of it is, well, that's just what you want because you don't like those people. Or that's just what you want because you like those people. Question is anybody actually trying to solve a problem as opposed to get what they want? I don't know. I'm confused about it. That's what worldly wisdom does. Not only does it produce confusion in the world around us, but in religious realm. If we as a church are basing what we do based on what seems expedient or the wise thing to do, there's confusion. I was looking at a website, and on this website it was a church, a spiritual church, and their goal was to help you in your spiritual journey. Everyone's got their own path. And we're here to help you. We've got books on meditation. We've got books on crystals. We've got all kinds of different things. Because it all leads to the same place. What kind of confusion would there be? Because there's some people that's religious conviction would be one way, and people's convictions that would be another way, and can they both be right? Well, we know that all paths lead to the same place. Is that true? I'm going to take a spaceship to Mars. And if Mars is that way, and I head that way, will I ever get there? Oh, I can go on and on and on. Because, at least according to science, space is expanding. I'm not sure how they know that, but they say space is expanding. And it should go on for infinity, right? So I will never get to Mars. Not all roads lead to heaven. In fact, only one does, Jesus says. There's confusion in the religious realm when we base what we do based on worldly wisdom. In your own life, you have made decisions on things that seem to be the right thing to do. And what you found out is that it is the wrong thing to do. In society, I find it interesting. A good example is given. Here we had a horrible shooting. And a bunch of 6-year-olds were murdered. And everybody in the nation was heartbroken for it. And yet so many more in just an hour are done. And nobody cares. We hadn't heard about that? It's called abortion. So on one hand, we say, wait a minute, a guy can't go in and just kill a bunch of 6-year-olds, but it's okay to go kill the baby before the born. Talk about confusion. Every evil thing comes around this wisdom. The violence, confusion, frustration, suffering, personal meltdowns, families break apart, society in general falls apart when they follow worldly wisdom. what seems best at the time. Those things that make me happy. Those things that benefit me because I keep number one first. That's worldly wisdom. We need to stay away from it. Now, does that mean there's no hope? No. God gives practical wisdom in His Word. The true wisdom is from above. It's pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits. That is the character of this wisdom. The character of this wisdom is pure. The purity of it means that it is not tainted by sin. It's not mixed in with sin. For example, I want to get ahead in life. I know that God says that I need to work hard with my hands. And so I work hard with my hands. And I make money that way because I need to provide for my family. God says I need to provide for my family. If I don't provide for my family, I'm worse than an infidel. I need to work my hands. I need to make the money. So as I make that money to be able to get food for my family, what I need to do then is I need to figure out a way to be more effective that way. How can I be most effective? What if I cheated on my work? I can make more money that way. Did you know that? What if I didn't even show up for work and got paid to do it? Now there's an idea. I'll ask my buddy to clock me in and clock me out, and I don't have to show up and do a thing, and I'll get paid for it. That's a good way to do it. What's another way I can do it? What if I start a con? Not only that, I can make money, provide for my family by stealing. It's no big deal. You see, if I'm not careful, I can take God's word and twist it so that way it ends up being sin. But pure wisdom, God's wisdom is pure. It's not tainted with sin. It's not mixed with sin. It's peaceable. You know, sometimes our guilt meter is off. But many times it's on. And when I make a decision, I'm feeling guilty about it. Question is, did I make a godly decision or an unwise decision? Gentle. It's gentle in the way that it deals with other people. Practical wisdom says, somebody does something to you, what do? Pay them the same respect. I was talking with a guy who was having his vehicle worked on, and he had bad experience. And so he was talking to the manager, and he just hauled off and just laid into him. Now, practical wisdom, to me, says that probably doesn't accomplish much. A person on the other end, as soon as you start raising your voice and getting after them, guess what they do? Click, turn it off. It's not practical wisdom. You won't solve the issue that way. There's nothing wrong with expressing politely that you're not happy with what has happened. But to hoop and holler, what does that make you look like? You make you look like the fool, not the other person. So your convenient wisdom didn't work. It only made you look bad. However, godly wisdom will not have a problem with gently coming up to somebody and saying, look, there's a problem here. How can we resolve this? That's practical wisdom. You look like the good guy then, don't you? Not only is it gentle, but it's willing to yield. You know what? We're very stubborn and selfish people, aren't we? We like to do things a certain way, and if we do it different, we don't like that, do we? We think True wisdom is the thing that's always worked. For example, think about the light bulbs. You know, the incandescent light bulbs, the cheap ones that you get. And you look and if you're like me, and you say, I can buy this cheap light bulb or I can buy an expensive light bulb. Now, if you're thinking the way I'm thinking, I'm buying the cheap light bulb. On the other hand, if I figure it out and realize if I buy the expensive light bulb, I'll save the entire planet with my light bulb. If I'm thinking that way, I'm going to buy the cheap light bulb. I'm going to die and I won't be around when it happens. So what do I care? Now I might look and compare the two and say, you know, I think I will go for that other one. That's not necessarily a matter of godly wisdom per se, but if I'm in the habit of buying a cheap light bulb, you're going to pull my teeth to get me to buy an expensive one. Does that make sense? Maybe this makes more sense. Here, last year we did something different. The year before, we did something different for our Christmas banquet. We had an Italian Christmas. We didn't have ham or turkey, didn't have goose. We had something different. And you don't have to admit it, but you might have thought to yourself, well, what kind of dinner is this? You don't have spaghetti at a Christmas dinner. This is sin. If we do something different here at church, it's been thought through. And sometimes when we do something different, you say to yourself, wait a minute, we sang a new song this morning, Ancient Words. That's a good song. If you paid attention to it, that's a good song. You didn't know that 10 years ago, did you? You may not have known it last year. Does that mean we did something wrong? No. I'm not sure if anybody, I don't think anybody hears this way. I'm pretty confident of that. But I've been some places where if we would have sung a song like that, they might have got up and left. Because that was written within the last 50 years, last 30 years, 20 years. And therefore it must be wrong. That sounds crazy, doesn't it? Unfortunately, Christians are that way. Why? Because we have self-seeking, self-centered, unwilling to yield wisdom. But true wisdom says, I don't have to be right, or doesn't always have to be my way, as long as it's not the wrong way, to do something. Godly wisdom also is full of mercy. It's forgiving. Godly wisdom doesn't jump on every chance they can to get after somebody. Well, that was stupid, wasn't it? Or, I told you so. Godly wisdom doesn't do that. All it is a matter of your own pride and satisfaction of that pride. There might be some proper correction that might need to be done, but it's done with wisdom and gentleness and with mercy. The product of that godly wisdom. There's three things here that he gives. First one disappeared. Is good fruits. Good fruits is the first one. You like to go to the store and buy good fruit. You go to certain grocery stores because it tastes good when you buy it there. You like to get pineapple that's direct from Hawaii because that's where it tastes best from. That stuff is good. You understand those kinds of things. Wisdom produces good fruit. Even though maybe at first it looks a little strange or maybe different, you don't really want to do it, but in the end you find out, wow, that was good. It produces great results in the end. Not only does it produce great results in the end, but it's without partiality and without hypocrisy. It leads to peace. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Wisdom isn't looking for only pleasing themselves or only a certain group of people, but looking to see what God's wisdom says is best for me and everyone else. The same with the hypocrisy, trying to avoid pleasing other people. It's not in the business of just pleasing people, but godly wisdom will do things in such a way in order to do things right, and in the end, people will see our plea is pleasing. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. There's peace to it. A peace in yourself, a peace that occurs when wisdom is done. So now, putting this all together, what does this mean? We need to live lives that are wise. And we're going to look over the next few, several weeks, we're going to look at God's wisdom. Because there are certainly things in the Bible that God says you are not to do this, and you are to do this. And you can even see the practical wisdom of that. But there's a lot of questions about our society that we really need to ask. And we need to see what God's Word says. So that way we're not putting dancing in our church covenant when it's not in the Bible. Does that make sense? And we're not putting dancing in your own personal covenant without reason. We need to use godly wisdom in what we do and why. Sometimes when. That makes sense, doesn't it? Why? Because it's pure wisdom, godly wisdom. So this morning you had the introduction that we need to live wise lives. Our lives will be better if we use godly wisdom. If we use godly wisdom to live our lives out, the way that we take care of our personal selves, the way we take care of our money, the way the things that we eat, the way we relate to other people, if we put that all together and focus on God's wisdom rather than our own strength, our own wisdom. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. This is where we're going to look. So, look forward to living a better life in 2013. Why? Because we're going to take a look at God's wisdom and let it play out in our lives. On one hand, you call it Christian standards. But that sounds boring. So we're going to call it godly wisdom for better lives. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word which gives us your wisdom. I thank you that we can take it and apply it to our hearts and lives. I ask that you would challenge us. Help us that we might be challenged in the way that we live our lives, that we are challenged in the way that we look at the lives that we have now. Help us not to jump to certain conclusions about what's right and wrong, but do help us to use your word to understand what you clearly say, what is right and wrong, and to put into practice those principles which lead us to live to use biblical wisdom for better living. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.